Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, Saints. I'm Michael TiVo Mike Jefferson, TG pastor and the author of the book Victory. Welcome to the TiVo Mike Show, the podcast for TV fanatics who love Jesus. I'm here in the studio with my best friend and our entertainment guru, Mike Warner.
Hey, guys.
This is us, as Chris Sullivan said, by putting these characters in these situations and showing an audience how they navigate that as opposed to just talking about depression. Mm. By demonstrating how two people can navigate this in a healthy fashion or as healthily as they can, I find that to be infinitely more helpful and heartfelt. Wow. We meet child Toby and teenage Toby. Today, we explore how Toby's past defined his future. It's Tuesday, October 30th.
Talk about TV just to reveal JC, yeah. Devo Mike.
When Kate said to Toby, I'm pregnant.
Oh.
His reaction got me right in the feels.
Yes. Like, and the worst part about it, right? NBC, don't show me no more previews. Because I knew it was coming. So I'm like, this is, whatever. It's not going to be that big a deal.
Right.
And then it happened. I was with him. And I was like,
oh, yes.
You're so happy you can't be happy.
Right. Right.
And
that's, hold on, brother just said something so ridiculous. Again with this tweet. Entertainment guru says stuff that just gets me. He was so happy, he couldn't be happy. Man.
I just want to
take your brain and just doggone it, man. That was the perfect way to explain it, because it was relief,
yes,
but deep sadness, because it was always there, but he was hiding it. So his first time he could be expressing genuineness, what bubbled up was the sadness that was always there.
Yes.
And he had no room to display the happy, and he just broke down. Yes, and he's going to the sink. And he's saying something, trying to, you know, give himself that verbal talk.
Yeah, like talk him off the ledge real quick. Like, all right, God,
he just couldn't. And she's like, what is going on? Are you all right? I love their relationship.
Yeah.
I just love
it. I think by the end of the season, you are going to forget that Kate murdered her father. Because in that scene, she was so what Jack would have been to Rebecca.
Yes.
Instead of being like, you're not happy with having a baby.
Right.
She automatically went into, oh my God, my husband.
Right. Like, are you all right?
She went into it like,
Because, first of all, showing the flashback of child Toby with his mom going through clearly some postpartum depression, whatever. And he goes to make her smile. He puts on the jacket.
Listen, the Rodney
he's like,
Dangerfield.
So I was with my wife. We were happy for years. Then we met.
And the funny thing is, I knew what actor. So before she said, "Oh my God, are you doing Rodney Dangerfield?" I was like,
"Yes,
oh, Rodney Dangerfield," because I loved him as a character
as a kid. Yes,
there's a cartoon.
Ladybug.
He's a dog.
Remember that?
Ladybug is another one. There was a cartoon where he was a dog, and the dog's name was Rover.
Oh, that's hilarious!
And it had a tie.
He got no respect. No respect at all.
Yes. It was good to see that he had. Male comedic role models.
Yes, yes.
Because you don't get just.
And that's literally who he modeled his life on.
Because just like you see him and his dad, and that relationship was like horrible but good.
Yeah, because the dad. See, what was good about that scene when they show Toby, that was teenage Toby.
Yes,
the father's leaving. What this show does is I recognize the time in which they lived.
Yes.
And at that time, seeing therapists, understanding the chemical imbalance in the brain. And so the husband was truly exasperated.
Yeah.
And he couldn't get his wife to be happy. You know, and we talked about this on the show before. When men fail at something, we avoid it. And so he thought he was failing as a husband. And so he had to leave. He was failing as a father because he said it. Like in the rare moment of a man telling the honest truth of fear, He says to his son, I see so much of your mother in you, it scares me.
Yes. Oh.
These sad attacks, whatever he called them, are unbearable. You're going to you have to navigate through life because this will not fly. And it showed me that Toby didn't have the support he needed. He had to create this character.
Yes.
To get him out from it. And then they fast forward him to the adult Toby after his girlfriend broke up with him. I loved how when that breakup happened, the mom, who had her own bouts of depression, tried and successfully enough got him out of it.
Yes.
And said, you have all that joy to share. Just go ahead.
Yeah.
But it's just as real and deep as your depression is. And then he got help and they showed him all shaved face. I was like, oh my God, look like a baby.
He did, yeah.
I mean, a big fat baby, but he looked like a baby. But the thing that got to me was what it's like to be depressed, they showed.
Yeah.
In a way that wasn't what typically is shown of a show. Like, normally it's, oh, the depression is, I can't get out of the bed, and everything is not fine. They end with that.
Yeah.
But they showed the struggle of what it is to overcome and endure. And what I really loved about the episode is when he finally lets her know what has been going on so they could have this child.
Yes.
The ultimate sacrifice he made for her. That was another Jack thing he did. So Kate has a lot of people willing to kill themselves for her. So once again, Kate, if you thought by the end of this season that I'm going to forget that you killed the most jackest Jack, she has to really embrace what her husband has done for her.
Yes.
And definitely. When they go to get back on the medicine, I love how they show it's not a simple, oh, here's your refill. We have to meet with you. We have to now find out, we have to work with you, find your dosage at this point. Like, it didn't show that, oh, if you're depressed, you go get pills. If you're depressed, keep hiding it. It's going to be okay. It didn't even show that doing what he did is a good idea.
Nope. Yeah, exactly.
It just showed this story. It showed this family, this couple.
Yeah.
And he's been fighting depression his whole life. He just wants to be happy. He wants to find his happy.
Yeah.
It's one of the reasons I broke down with A Star Is Born. They just want to be happy. Mm. So we'll be back right after this.
To be a survivor in this amazing race with a need for speed, you need God's grace. And if you're desperate like housewives watching Days of Our Lives, you can't cope without hope, and that's not on a soap. If you're looking to Oprah or Dr. Phil, you can shop nonstop or pop a pill, but the void won't fill and the pain won't kill till you love the one that hung on the hill. Kicking back in your lazy boy easy chair watching Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? Nah, you're not going to find it there. No American Idol or Council Tribal has a final answer that'll satisfy you. CSI ain't got a clue. SVU don't know what to do. Not the ER or the OC, nothing on a CD. TV, DVD, or MP3 can save you and me. CNN's got no good news. Here's a headline. You must choose. It's not a simple life, Paris Hilton. It's treading on thin ice, living in sin. You can be an apprentice for Donald Trump or eat Fear Factor fast food from a dump. You can be a heavy hitter, a Wheel of Fortune winner, a Fox News no-spin spinner, a flat-out sinner. But you better check this life that you're living and make sure your sins are forgiven. I bet you 50 cent Elvis Dunn came and went, and eventually every black-eyed pea, Gwen Stefani, P. Diddy, and Britney, every wannabe on MTV with they icy bling, every Dixie chick that sings, they all gonna see the King of Kings. I don't care if you're J-Lo or Leno or Bono. One thing you gotta know, someday you're gonna die, bro. Then where are you gonna go? Hey, I'm not talking some punk junk that's irrelevant like your grandma's church from way back when. It's not some preacher feature on TBN that you need to be liking or listening. The real superstar is Jesus Christ. He's the way. He's the truth and the life. One day he's going to split the sky. He's the brightest light and the highest high. So what I came to say and what I'm telling you is don't buy that stupid stuff they be selling you. It's all designed to fill your head and waste your space until you're dead. Here's the bottom line of my rhyme. Give your life to God while there's still time.
Welcome back to the Appropriately Sad Sheva Mike Show today as we talk about depression.
It's a solemn music.
It really is.
I was like, oh no.
I'm telling you, this is us like, music each week.
You completely obliterated my joke with that music.
I was going to say, right? This was like, boom. That's what I'm saying. Music sets the tone.
Oh, yeah.
It really does. And if you listen to a show, if you watch a movie and they have the extra scenes, and you'll like, oh, delete the scenes, and you'll watch it, like, how come it looks so different? Because it doesn't have the music underlay, and you see what a big difference a scene is without the music.
Or when they do put the music,
right.
I'll never forget. Mind you, I'm the movie person.
Right.
But the one movie that did it for me with music,
bro,
was Man on Fire.
Okay, I remember Man on Fire.
Denzel Washington, Dakota Fanning. She gets kidnapped by her unbelievable dad named Mark Anthony in the movie. And he finds her, saves her, but he has to sacrifice himself for her.
Right.
So at the end of the movie, you see him walk into the car.
Oh.
You already know he's going to die. And they play music, and it's Latin music.
Mm.
But it wasn't even about the music itself. For me, being someone who's learning Spanish, the lyrics is what hit me because it was una palabra, no dice nada. So one word can say nothing.
Wow.
Al mismo tiempo, con de todo. But at the same time, say everything.
Wow. One word can say nothing, but yet say everything.
That hit me, especially when he was walking. And there was more to the lyrics and stuff. And the song translates to the water on the face of the map.
Wow.
Or the map. It just gets to you.
Yeah,
it just broke me all the way down. It was like the movie was already great.
Right. It was already powerful. This makes me want to watch the movie again. Wow. Because I don't even remember that song. Or I wouldn't know what they said.
Yeah.
Or like, post palabra or whatever. Like, you know, some crazy thing. Like, oh, he's going to the post office. I don't know. What the fuck? Or I would think it means man on fire.
Exactly.
He's going to catch fire on Chicago fire. Denzel needs to be on Chicago fire. But anyway, that's
fine. I don't know if I can take him on Chicago. As long as he's not like he was in Fences.
No, oh, thank you.
Too long-winded.
Everything was a speech. I'm like, I'm telling you, not all the time, hallelujah. Come on, bless God. Don't need a speech. I need you to say, sure, that was fun.
Yes.
Not why my brain power connected and made it fun and spoke to the lights. So, but Toby, and in the Toby push portion of this, because that was a major part. Everything else was all right, whatever. You know, Kevin sees a black dude, whatever. But Toby, with this fighting this battle, because it was his episode.
Yes.
And when they showed what he did to assuage him of that feeling, playing the game all day, missing the appointment with
Kate,
that look on his face, he was so gone in his mind, but yet so present because of the love he has for Kate.
Yes.
And it really spoke to me about what sacrifice is.
Yes. And I saw that and I was like, you know what? It's real. Like,
yeah.
Because you do those little things to for the greater good of what your relationship is going to be.
Yes.
In hopes that
in the best intention.
Yes.
You really love them. Even when we talked about that last week on How to Get Away, where the client took on the murder rap
for his wife. Yeah.
And I like these
storylines.
Thank you. These storylines of showing us that, because it's not saying that's what you do. It's saying this is what this person did.
Yeah.
And this was their motivator.
Yeah.
And their motivator wasn't self-glory. It wasn't self-anything. It was selfless. It was sacrifice. Whether or not it should be done is a completely separate issue. We're showing and sharing the story of this family, what they're doing. Drop your rocks. Just go with the story,
because
we've all done different things, and we've done it for hopefully good reasons.
Yep.
You know, some of you did some from bad reasons.
Well, that's the thing. So I loved, because, you know, that's the Jack and Toby.
Oh, my gosh.
The thing I loved about this episode was we got Kevin and the Jack and Kevin. So We did get some blonde moments, right? The lady at the gas station.
Right.
He was clearly was not okay.
Thank you.
With Zoe.
That's a white privilege moment.
Yes.
Because he didn't need to be aware of it because that's not his world. Remember, he was too busy talking to her about, hey, we're taking this trip. He was looking down like, oh, so you have your coupon?
You want? Yeah.
You fine? You got the thing? And he was oblivious. She was like, oh, he doesn't see it.
But I think what I love that they're doing this is we're going to get more Randall and Kevin lines or story because now Kevin's going to have a different perspective.
Right.
From what Randall, because that, let me just say, Niles Fitch, young Randall, 15-year-old Randall. Or
15-year-old. High school
Randall.
Yes.
That scene, brother, I have been in that scene many times.
What scene is that?
Where you go to date a girl or you're talking to a girl.
You've been in that scene where the father comes out and turns around?
The father's like, hold up. Oh, I got it worse because I got the hold up, the aftershock, and then the can I talk to you on the side for a minute.
Wow.
So, brother.
Did he want to see your papers or?
He just was not thrilled at the idea of me, my black self, and his white daughter.
Wow.
So that hurt me. That scene crushed me. It crushed me more because it happened on prom night.
Right.
It crushed me more because the daughter and mom were so accepting and willing to just let it be.
And why didn't he? And why did she still go?
Huh? Because
the father doesn't have to go to the prom.
No, but the thing is, it's that's the psychological of it, right? So she could have went. But in that moment, had she gone, she'd be forever turned her back on her dad for not agreeing with what he brought her.
Good.
Well, that's how we see it.
Yeah.
But and trust me.
But we forget they're only 15.
Yes. And a few times it's happened in my life, I've seen both sides where the girl's like, well, I'm still going to hang out with him and what that entails. And the times
where
there's
no more
friends.
But the brother didn't even stick with Randall either. That's what's sad.
And that's.
Enough, but you forget this is all before they had that hug on the floor.
Yes.
So you're thinking,
yes.
He has to keep being
but
a jerk in the flashback.
What I love is
I'm
seeing now that's the first time in 36 years you call me brother.
Right. Because he didn't call him brother then.
Yeah, and
he would say, oh, it's okay. He's my brother. So he's been raised white. He's actually fine. He's not like one of those people from Juice.
Yeah.
Or Boys in the Hood or Fat Albert.
I can't guarantee.
He's not a young Cosby.
But
he's his own man.
Yeah.
He's Jack's son.
That's what I love about Kevin.
Mm.
I finally got Jack's son. So when
when did he show himself to be Jack?
When Zoe forgot her pillowcase. When she first said it.
Wasn't that good?
When he first said it,
I thought I meant something.
Turn around and go get it.
Yeah.
And
you need your silk pillowcase.
And then whatever happened, I'm assuming he got up to go to the bathroom when he was talking to Mac. Oh, sorry. Mac was what the guy's name on Night Court or whatever show he was on before. But Mr. Robinson. And he overheard a snippet because also they get back to the hotel. And she's like, did you order room service? Oh, no, that's for you.
Yeah.
And she comes in the room. She's like,
a pillowcase?
Yeah, pillowcase. He goes, yeah, it seems really important to you.
Yeah, so there you go.
And I was like,
but he was still saying, like, unsurprisingly, but it showed that he's scared.
There's Jack.
And he remembered,
there.
Right.
Jack is there somewhere.
Because he was like, we're going to get you that pillowcase.
Yeah.
I may not know why you need it,
yeah.
But I know you want it.
And you needed it, or
right.
It was important to you.
Yes.
So I was like, oh my gosh.
It
Jack
was
is
such
in
a
there.
Beautiful moment, and I think that's what melted her away to finally say he's worth it.
Yeah. Well, let's just start with that conversation before we go to break.
Oh my gosh.
I loved the whole conversation because I loved it because they had that conversation of boyfriend, girlfriend, she's like, no.
Right.
And then the black lady, Mrs. Robinson was like, y'all are such a cute couple. She said,
right.
Oh, we ain't a couple. Honey, you drove 5 hours in a car.
Right, in a car. For what? Yeah. To do what? He's your neighbor? What? He gave you Jell-O? Come on now. We know he's not doing your hair. Why are you together? I love that, cutting through the crap and getting to the realness.
Yes.
And that's what allowed her to be real back.
Yeah, because she says, well, this is my first alabaster.
Yeah.
And that killed because I had a cat, and he was all white. And I named him Alabaster,
See?
So it was even funnier.
Yes. Oh, she's like, oh, okay, your first one. Okay, so let's talk.
Yeah.
And she goes, well, I don't want to have to explain it to him or should he?
Yes.
She goes, but if he's worth it.
And I was like, thank you.
Because that's the good thing about that answer.
Yes.
Because she didn't just say yes or no. And she didn't judge him for being white.
Yes.
It wasn't about that. It was about her. Does she want to have these conversations?
You need to. If this,
right.
If he's worth it. Then it's worth educating.
Then worth. Right. Then just love him through educating. and he'll do it. And he called her real quick as soon as she told him.
Oh, yeah.
He was like, oh, why did you tell me early? I would have kicked that woman in the face and sued her. And
I know. He goes, why did you say something like that?
He would. She goes, I didn't know you were worth it until now. This is the Steve O'Mike Show.
In under 60 seconds, what is the gospel?
All right, check. Our God is great and awesome and almighty. God is he, so rich in mercy. He loved us so jealously. Put your hands up if y'all in the house, y'all feeling me. If you don't, I'ma make it clear, so listen please. The triune three in one, holy trinity, the MVP. There is no other second and none inherently. Showered us with grace and kindness so exceedingly that even when we were dead in trespasses, made alive in Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest you should boast. For we are meant to do his good works and much greater. And in accordance, we will also glorify our Savior, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, Son of God, Yeshua HaMashiach Elohim, the Holy One. He became a ransom for many and now the risen Son. So what better way to respond than to lift your hearts in song?
Welcome back to the TiVo Mike Show. We're everywhere, wherever we are. I don't have to tell you, you're listening to us already.
Radio Public.
So just
Google
tell your friends where you listened.
iTunes.
That's right. And hello at TiVo Mike and Twitter at EG Mike, Twitter and 84 and Instagram, TiVo Mike and whatever. Just type TiVoMike.com, it'll go there.
Yeah.
We'll just start getting everybody to go to TiVoMike.com. It's one place, click it everywhere, and then boom, shakalaka.
But
now we're on Beth. Say what you were saying about Beth.
I don't want to watch
it
tonight.
So good. Why don't we want to watch tonight?
Because
the show sucks.
No, because
Kate's not in jail.
I don't want to see Beth broken.
But Kate goes to jail tonight.
It doesn't matter.
Oh.
Beth has been such a, since season one, just phenomenal woman.
Yes.
And
she's
sorry for
names.
The people out there who want me to say phenomenal black woman. It doesn't matter if she's black.
Right.
She's been a phenomenal woman.
And she's actually white in real life. So her name is Julie Sweeney.
I hate you so much.
And she's Julia Roberts' cousin. She's beautiful.
She's
but they can put it with the makeup, make her look black.
Yes. But
awesome.
She's just been so great as a character.
Right.
To watch her go from non-working mom back to work. And
and a real person.
And that's the thing, like the real person of her.
Yes.
Like, every situation, she's been a real person, meeting her husband's biological father, trying to build a relationship. Already, I'll never forget when he's like, well, I'll just take him. Well, he already upstairs. Why are you going to take him? Like it was just like,
man.
So, for her to lose the job, first off, me and that company, I sent them some bomb threats. Just kidding. I didn't do that. Well, not on Team Trump. What I'm saying is,
right,
that company upset me. But we never got her real disconnect. Like, we got her disconnect when him telling her you're not worth it.
Right.
But she never took time to process what that really meant.
Right. And how devastating it was to her.
And
we
and
saw the hurt in the moment.
Yes. But then that interview, and when she started talking about, well, we started 12 years ago.
Right.
We started
it together.
Yes. Like,
we did the... And so why did you leave? Well, because what happened, you know, it was a budget decision. And and you could tell right after she said budget decision and paused, she reheard her conversation with him in her mind that you're not worth it.
Yes.
And the pain of that hurt her.
Down right there.
And
like we said, they would have still hired her if she just took her minute and came back. But to be humiliated all over again... self-done, like,
right,
you did it to yourself in that moment because you automatically replayed that by it unsubconsciously.
And I think the episode is going to show that she got the offer from them still,
yes,
and then she's telling them, I'm not ready. I think that's where the scene's going to go because they had already made her their decision at that point.
So hurt.
They were just going through like the mechanics,
yeah,
like this is who we want,
the protocol, yeah,
right, she's great. And
because she said they already toured me around, they introduced me, so I knew she had the job.
Yeah, this was the final. It was just like, wow,
the formality of it.
You know,
yeah.
She got emotional. She's still going through it. Because, again, you had something for 12 years where you didn't see yourself. Here's the thing, and I hope they explore this in the episode. I know they will because he's a good writer. That she didn't see herself as an employee.
Yes.
She saw herself as one of the owners, in a sense. You know, like, owned her work, her assignment. You know, like,
her contributions.
Right. The company, she's contributing.
Yes.
And she's helping, and she saw herself as integral to that. And she goes, well, if 12 years, if that's not the case, then why was I let go? Why wasn't I that? Why did they let the other person stay?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it's a money thing, because they're paying her less. But still, if I'm bringing more value, it's just one would need to go through this.
Yeah, and she never did it.
And even in that, she was still supporting her husband. When he's giving his speech, she's there. She told him, she goes, well, at least they stayed.
Can we please talk about that?
She goes, Beth, they work here.
Who calls people complacent?
Well, that's the thing. Well, remember, when he said it, I love the reaction. Like, the whole scene, I'm looking at Beth.
Yeah.
I'm not even on Randall.
But she's like waving at him like,
yes,
hello. Like,
but I'm looking at Beth the whole time.
Yeah.
And her reaction, because she's in the unique position. She's just like Randall. I'm sure she gets the same pushback in the community,
yep.
But she's, I guess, more aware because she grew up with her family,
mm-hmm.
You know, where he had, you know, white family. So he always keeps saying her, you grew up with white. I know you got the white family and they don't care. But when she goes, babe, you call him complacent. She's like, yeah, I know. As soon as I said it out of my mouth, I shouldn't have. She goes, yeah, that's what you're going to get. She goes, and you'll never say it again?
Yes.
Like, you learn the lesson. She's always about the lesson. And in that moment, she was even, let's move on.
Yes.
And like, she was trying to do that herself. I'm just going to move on. Well, they fired me. Okay, well, I'm going to keep moving on. And when you realize, yes, you can move on, but sometimes you need to take a moment and hurt.
Take a moment. Yes.
And just let yourself do that.
But that's a Mary Jane.
And Randall, when he did it, that scared her.
Yes.
So she doesn't do it.
Yep. Yes.
And she needs that on the floor, cry, get it out, and let your husband step up and be the
and
one to hug
there.
You.
He'll be
or
there.
Or Zoe.
He'll
Zoe
probably,
goes and gives
he'll
you a hug.
Cradle her around the room.
Yes.
While she's going through. Like,
right. Or he goes and hugs Kevin because Zoe's going to hug you. Do whatever. But let someone love on you. There's a thing on Twitter or Facebook that says, when the strong, sometimes the hardest thing for the strong to say is, I need help too.
Yes.
You know, because who's there for you?
Mm.
Oh, my gosh. Just, we love you. We love the show. We love you, Julie Sweeney.
Susan Colucci, what?
Oh, I thought it was Julia Sweeney. Anyway, this is the TiVo Mike Show. I had to get a laugh at that.
If you love TV,
$405 and Libby.
If you love Jesus, we're going to love TiVo Mike. The TiVo Mike Show is a daily internet radio show that features the best of popular culture with a Christian point of view. TiVo Mike teaches you about Jesus and popular TV shows with the entertainment guru Mike Warner. From The Walking Dead to The Big Bang Theory, you'll experience entertainment that fills your spirit. The TiVo Mike Show airs weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern on Blog Talk Radio. Or subscribe on iTunes or Google Play. Learn more at TiVoMike.com. That's TiVoMike.com.
All right, and real quick, before we go, I wanted to shout out Miguel, a.k.a. John Huertas, for taking up the mantle. We got the scene that I think every fan needed to see with Jack and Miguel on the couch, Jack filling out life insurance forms. He said, listen, if, God forbid, I get hit by a bus,
right,
promise me you take care of them. And I actually hated Miguel less.
Yes.
After seeing that scene.
Yeah, I was like, he's doing all the great things. He's stepping up.
Fixing the fridge.
Which meant so much because, you know, she's renting. So apparently the life insurance wasn't a lot. Just saying, Jack. Just saying.
Well, he probably only got it because someone told him to get it. It wasn't like a...
And he didn't do the Dave Ramsey 12 times your income.
His dad didn't have life insurance, I'm sure.
No, not at all. But it's okay. Jack don't have to be perfect in all ways. But everyone else listening to this podcast get 12 times your income. And that way, they don't have to worry about some guy named Miguel fixing the fridge. And can we talk about how little stereotypical it is? Just saying. All right. So, anywho, remember this, people. I need you to keep listening to the show. If you are facing depression problems, seek help.
Please.
Tell somebody. You know, they say, if you see something, say something. Well, this one, if you feel something, say something.
Mm.
You really need help. To do that.
Yes.
Because you can't give what you don't have. And you can get it all from Jesus. So follow him daily, not just Sunday.
The T-Row Mike Show is produced by Michael Jefferson. Our soundboard operator is Mike Warner. And our theme music is by Eric Dano. Special thanks to Sharon Jefferson, Sandra Warner, Matthew Jefferson, Desiree Hidalgo, and Shanika Goodine. That's it for the T-Row Mike Show. I'm Mike Warner. See you tomorrow when we explore redeeming messages drawn from secular TV shows that are worthy of being watched.